rescued us from an error message on the stream. Thank you, Fred. My name is James Sagerton. This is the July 25th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask Arpal Martin, our secretary, to take the roll. Arpal?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Teresa Allen?
Present.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris? Julie Hewitt?
Present. I'm here. Yep. Sorry about that. Present.
Julie Hewitt? Kim Kaufman?
I'm here.
Arpal Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
I'm here for a minute.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay, that's eight. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Arpal. I want to note that Sharon Adams sent a note saying that she would not be here tonight. So that's the roll call. Now we go to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda. Number one is convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, minutes. That's a 5-minute item. Number five, review of the Pacifica radio station KPFK's fiscal year 23 budget. This is with KPFK General Manager Michael Novick and KPFK Treasurer Kim Kaufman presenting with Q&A. That's a 60-minute item. Number six is report from the Executive Director for 30 minutes. Number seven is review financials for the period ending April 30th, 2023. That's a 10-minute item in case there are residual questions. Number eight, consolidating bank accounts comparisons. That's a 5-minute item. And number nine is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any discussion on the agenda? Well, first of all, let me say I move the agenda. And is there any discussion? Additions, subtractions? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda adopted. The next item is the minutes. And Arpal, I did not insert an item of chair's announcements because we didn't have it last time. I do have one announcement that I'm just going to take a moment now and read just for the benefit of anybody who's listening. Tonight, we will review the Pacifica radio station KPFK's fiscal year 23 budget with actuals. Please look at documents from the KPFK treasurer on the NFC list. Okay, now we'll go to the minutes. Arpal, I understand we have the amended minutes from that meeting.
Not yet, we don't. Okay, I move to approve. Okay, the last time we had the minutes for the June 27th meeting, and we postponed those to this meeting, so that's on the floor at this point. And I'm going to move to amend those, and I'm going to move to amend those minutes by adding, quote, she said that Pacifica was 3 months behind on the interest payments for the economic injury disaster loan, unquote, to the second paragraph of the report from the executive director.
Yes, I saw that. Is there any is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, the amendment is approved. Arpal, would you like to move the minutes themselves? We'll go now to the main motion, which would be the minutes
themselves.
Yeah,
now we go to the main motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the minutes as amended? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider those minutes adopted. As always, they can be amended at a later date if anyone finds that necessary. Can bring it back to us. So that brings us to item number five. This is a review of the Pacifica radio station KPFK's fiscal year 23 budget with KPFK General Manager Michael Novick and KPFK Treasurer Kim Kaufman presenting. Michael, do you want to go first and give your general overview?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, you know, there's a projection here obviously involved for the last few months of this current fiscal year. And, you know, not to quibble about it, but, it's, you know, roughly it's showing a slight deficit on these figures. But if you look at the actuals through actually April, you know, the projection of the expenses for the remaining 5 months from May through September is a little bit higher than the actuals have been for the last several months. And the projection of the income is probably in line, more or less, maybe a little bit lower than what it was for the first 6 months. I think the key thing to understand is that it's not deceptive exactly, but it's not it doesn't really show the actual financial picture in a sense, because although you could say that for the local operating expenses shown in this budget prior to central services that we have not paid in, unfortunately, many, many years at this point, the budget is roughly in balance in a sense in terms of income and what our local expenses are, but that's not real because we're carrying a tremendous amount of aged payables, some of which we are paying. And so, for example, we have a bill with Southern California Edison. There was an agreement that we have to come up with the current monthly bill plus $8,000 to pay off the unpaid balance. And so that $8,000 is not showing up in current financials because it's a payment for, you know, prior year accrued expenses. So that means that something else is not being paid in the current expenses. And so we're developing new agent payables in the current period. But that's the reality that we're facing. We've been trying for some time to see if we can generate more off-air fundraising. I've been trying to get more members of the local station board to participate in, sort of donor stewardship, calling lapsed donors. We did do, Terry Guy in the membership department here did a major email out to about 7,000 lapsed donors, people who had not renewed their membership in time for the date of record, or as the date of record was coming to a close. We sent it out to them before that, before the June 30th date of record. But people who had not renewed their membership between July 1st of last year and edging towards, I can't tell you exactly what the results of that were, but it reflects the fact that there are a lot of people who have dropped their membership over the last number of years. We have something called the CDP, I forget what it stands for, but it's a consortium of public radio stations. And it was found, I think WBUR started, but somehow KPFK is the only Pacifica station that's in it. And some of the figures they show, show that we have an improvement in our member retention and our income retention over the last year, but it's still not up to where it should be or what the average of public radio is. So that's something we need to try to accomplish. We've had probably 2/3 of the people who have been members over the last 4 years at KPFK are no longer members. So we have maybe about I saw the figures from the NES, and I'm not sure about those exactly, because the figures that CDP came up with out of the Allegiance program are a little bit higher. But roughly speaking, we have between 5,000 and 6,000 current listener sponsors. And so, you know, it's a challenge to try to generate the income that we could have when we had a lot more than that. The numbers dropped off substantially going back well over a year ago. I think that they dropped off basically at the end of 2021 and beginning of 2022. And they've been in the 5,000 to 6,000 range since. Some people, are new members. Some people have failed to renew. The last fund drive we had showed that there was pretty substantial percentage of people who were either renewing as their membership expired or were lapsed donors who became members again by donating during the fund drive. So that was encouraging. So the exact figures, we could argue about. I do think that payroll, personnel costs in particular, are going to be lower than what's projected on this document, because we know, for example, that sadly, Roy of Hollywood, Roy Tuckman, passed away in April, and so that's no longer on our payroll. As positions have been vacated, they have not been filled. And so the payroll is much lower than it was even at the beginning of the fiscal year and compared to previous years, even more so because several people have left for one reason or another. And that's going to continue. We have people whose severances are ending and so on going forward. So the key is that we have not been able to come up with enough money to cover our central services expenses, although we did contribute about $20,000. We were asked, I think, in January or February. We had some money in the account, and I think BAI and the PRA were both short on payroll, and so that money was used from our accounts to cover that, which is the first time in quite some time we haven't been on the other end of that equation. So if I could just point out a few things here, LISA support is down year to date. Actuals in the last March, it shows you just under 500,000 compared to the year before. It was about 645,000. The year to date actual total revenue through March was 637. Compared to 697. So that's a drop off of around $150,000, $160,000. But the expenses are down much more. So year to date of the prior year, expenses were $905,000, and this year, $615,000. So that's why we're showing somewhat of balanced budget as opposed to a major deficit budget just for local expenses. Again, as I say, that is deceptive because we're actually having to pay off things we owe from prior years, vendors that we still owe for premiums that we promised, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not as good as it looks on this paper in that regard because we're skimping on current accounts to pay old ones. It's better than it was a year ago is all I can say on that. And I think it will improve further. We do have one more fund drive coming up in this fiscal year, which is for August. We're trying to see if we can increase. We had an average of about 4,500. It dropped off to about 4,000 in the last drive. The actuals are not reflected here, but in the June fund drive, we had close to 101,000 in the fund drive, and then additional listener support. So, again, that's averaged out. Maybe what this shows you is flat figures projected across the board. And as you can see, mostly it's up and down each month. The month we have a fund drive, it's higher. The month we don't have a fund drive, it's lower. So the 83,000 average is probably more or less correct. It might be a little bit higher than that, I think. And I think the personnel expenses are going to be a little bit lower than what's shown here. But that's fundamentally what the picture is. We do have a lot of upcoming expenses. Again, we inherited a lot of deferred maintenance, and it's coming due. We have transmitters that are reaching the end of their life. They probably have more time in the transmitter, but the problem is that the power supplies that we have to power those transmitters are now obsolete. The company that made them went out of business. The company that makes the transmitters bought the intellectual property rights to repair them, but the ones that we have cannot be repaired. There's a slightly newer version of power supplies that could be, but that would involve then purchases. basically we're looking at replacing, having to replace the transmitters sooner rather than later. That's probably a $200,000 expense. So we're talking about having to do some kind of capital campaign to cover a lot of costs related to transmitter problems and other problems we're having with technology. We have, I convened a technology task force. We've had a lot of support from John O'Mella, Mo Thomas, people nationally and local people, our chief engineer and others. And we're coming up with a budget for that. And I'm, discussing with the ED how to cover those expenses, which are, very, very major ones, would require, some kind of appeal to major donors or grants to cover that sort of very heavy capital expense. I don't know if people have questions of me or, maybe Kim can go into much greater detail.
Michael, I have some questions and then I'm going to take a stack. I just want to say thank you for coming, and I should have, in introducing you, I should have mentioned that, as with most general managers, you're here with someone else from KPFK, who happens to, in this instance, to be Kim Kaufman, your treasurer, who's on this committee, who did a lot of work on this budget. And so, you're giving us the overview, and we'll go into the nitty gritty probably more with Kim. But I do have a few questions, and then I'll take a stack. My first question is, you said that the budget is deceptive in a way because, you have some past due payables that have to be paid, and maybe the expenses are a little high or the revenue may be a little low. Were you consulted fully in preparing this budget? Do you feel like there's anything that you could add that might make the overall size of the deficit significantly different? Are you satisfied with this budget as it is?
I think it's close enough. Like I say, if we put the May and June actuals in, it might look a little bit better than the projection. But I'm not going to quibble over, $10,000 or $15,000 difference here and there. I think the one thing I would say is that I do think the personnel costs are declining and will continue to decline. The other thing is, I'm not sure if I can talk about this. Part of the personnel costs we have is actually not a severance, but a settlement. And so people should think about that. It's said that we don't make central service payments, but actually part of our so-called personnel budget is really for an obligation of the foundation.
Understood. Another question I had was, you see if a two-thirds churn in your membership. And I'll say that we saw that same kind of churn at WBAI when we were doing, periodic fund drives, May, summer, fall, spring rather, summer, fall, that sort of thing. And we've noticed that there's been a drop-off in that since we've been using the so-called 52-week schedule, where we do a little bit of fundraising each day. I'm just wondering, have you talked to Bertold at all about that?
Yeah, we have discussed it. I don't think it'll work here, honestly, because a lot of that is predicated on fund drive specials and premiums, and we've changed our approach. When I came in, I did have a long discussion with our membership department. They felt that basically the high ticket item premiums with consultants and, the cost of the premiums. We still owe money for premiums that were offered a year ago in March, and all it does is alienate members. So we've basically gone to a model where we are in fund drive every other month, as we have been for 4 years almost at this point. But we're not preempting much programming. We're relying on low and no cost premiums. That you'll see the development costs are way down compared to what they were, as well as the administration costs. And that's because we're not doing that. And so you look at the figures, look, this is kind of an anemic fund drive, but the fact is that a lot more of the money is staying here and not going out to vendors and not going out to consultants. So I think that actually is working, and I think that I can send you more of the figures from the analysis of Allegiance, but it is showing major uptick in revenue retention and member retention, And I think that's because we've had a lot of people who became members without realizing that's what they were doing. They were just ordering something in the fund drive they wanted, and then we never heard from them again. So I think we lost all those people, and we lost some people, not, frankly speaking, because of factional differences. I think the big drop-off came after the elections in 2021, which there were two elections. One was the bylaws, the second bylaws amendment or replacement, and the other was the local station board elections. Both of those are being litigated and involved, you know, a lot of contentiousness, and I think a lot of people then stopped supporting the station financially going back late 2021 or early 2022. I think we have stabilized the membership and people are responding, you know, generally speaking. As I say, we had an uptick again in the last fund drive, which is not a particularly strong one, but it still showed quite a few people who were lapsed and renewing, and a good percentage who were, you know, expiring and renewing. So I think that's, you know, positive.
Thank you, Michael. Michael, I have one more question and then a very quick comment. Actually, I'll just make the quick comment right now. You mentioned that when you donated, I think $20,000, not donated, but you paid it into the national office so that they could make some immediately due payments. I happen to know that WBAI did make its payroll that month. They might have made it a day or two late, but they did make it. I think most of that was going toward PRA. But my last question before I take a stack is, you mentioned Allegiant, so I'm going to just use that to dovetail into this question. Do you have anybody there now that is fluent in Allegiant and is able to use it expeditiously? And the reason I'm asking is, I'm curious to know if you are sending notices now to lapsed donors. I understand with Allegiant, you can know who's lapsing and send them a notice, and also, you know, if people's credit cards have changed or, you know, suddenly they're not working anymore, you can send people a notice about that. Do you have people that are able to do that, and are you doing that yet?
I think Terry is probably able to do it. The membership department is stressed by the fact that we have to have these membership drives every other month. And as I say, we did send out to about 7,000 lapsed members an email prior to the end of the date of record, trying to get those people to renew the memberships. So that was a little bit of a mass mailing. I'm not sure if it's being done on a, you know, daily or weekly basis, frankly, because there's so much else that we're trying to deal with. But I agree it would be helpful to do that. I don't have an Allegiance account myself. I have been relying on these reports, as I say, from CDP, which go into great depth in terms of some of the figures I just cited. And I think they've been helpful both to the ED and to Terry, actually, because they have an insight into Allegiance based on the fact that we're one of the subscribed stations. I don't know why KPFK is the only Pacifica station that is involved with the CDP effort, but the information is very useful.
Is that what I think it is? That's a platform which is used. Can you describe what CPD is?
I forget what it stands for, but it's a consortium of public radio and TV stations that was initiated by WBUR, and they look at ways to find discounts for various fundraising platforms and mechanisms that would be available if you're in CDP. And then they also do a very, very deep analysis of your own financial data, membership and income. And so they do a monthly report, which I said.
When I looked it up, I think they said it was free, is it not?
There hasn't been any charges that I've seen, but as I say, they stumbled across it because they sent me an email about something else. They said, what is this? How do I get access to it? And they sent me the password, and, we've been using that information. They say we had a long sit-down with Stephanie and myself and a woman from the organization reviewing a lot of our financials and suggesting, you know, some obvious improvements, obviously, if we're going to increase our retention rate. And, so a couple of things that we are strong on are the percentage of members that we have emails for and a couple of other things. And, you know, most of the stuff, as I say, there have been some improvements. You can share what I sent you if you want to with everybody on the committee. You know, it's a password protected link, but once I go in, I can create a share link that other people can look at. And
very good. Yeah, very good, Michael. I appreciate that.
It shows statistics for what they call the public broadcasting index, and you can see the comparison to everybody in radio, which everybody in radio has been down, you know, a fairly substantial 5 to 8% in the, you know, memberships recently.
Yeah, it looks very useful. So I'm glad you came up with that. Okay, I'm going to take a stack now. I apologize for taking so much time. Who wants to be on the stack? Don't all speak at once.
Well, with all due respect, I think I should be able to speak.
Oh, sure. Yeah, please.
Yeah, well, you're going to speak. I wanted to just get questions for Michael and then let you go into more of the line-by-line aspect of things. So does anybody have any questions for Michael? Well, Michael, we usually take items on our agenda where there are guests involved first, so we can let the guests go. But I'm going to ask you, could you stick around for a little while in case people think of questions that they'd like to ask you as Kim goes ahead? So, Kim, why don't you go ahead now, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm just going to respond a little. To the notes I took while Michael was speaking. Let's see. Well, let me address these fund drives. Now, I personally believe that the June fund drive is an anomaly in that we had significantly more donations, smaller donations in that drive, which to me is all about the election. So I don't think we're going to have that in the August drive. And that average was $4,000 a day. So you know, it's not going up. You know, you can spin this however you want, but basically we have, like, for this year, our donations per day were basically somewhere around, well, the last one had 39 donations a day, to a low of 30 donations a day. I mean, you know, it's like one an hour, a little over one an hour. So, I don't, you know, there's no way to put a smiley face on that in my view. Yeah, we're cutting expenses, and but that's not, this is, you know, it's not going upwards. It's not growing. There's no possibility for it to grow with less and less staff. And, you know, I will remind people that, number one, we lost about 50% of our membership. You can blame it on this and that and that and this. But our four paid programmers were subsidizing all these other programs, and they're all gone now. So that's where we're at.
So Kim, is there a question in there for Michael? Or
no.
Okay, so
I have a question.
I think maybe he should get a chance to respond.
Pardon me?
I was thinking he probably should get a chance to respond here.
Fine, he can respond. I mean, you know, whatever.
I just want to get as much information out as we can. Michael, do you want to respond to anything that Kim has said?
Not particularly. I'm not trying to put a smiling face on anything. I am trying to point out that there are some positive things within the, what is definitely a very distressed financial picture, that's all. We've been operating without a business manager for long before I got here. We've been operating without an operations manager for, I think, 7 years or something, without a program director long before I got here. So the cuts have been, first of all, not in staff, but in management, and we're facing the consequences of that. It's very difficult to manage a station without management. The reductions in payroll reflect the fact that, yes, when people leave, we've had retirements, we've had deaths, we've had people who quit, and they're not being replaced. And so the payroll has continued to go down. Obviously, that means it places a greater burden on the existing paid staff and on volunteers to try to pick up the slack. So when Roy of Hollywood passed away, we did not fill that position. There was an offer to have a part-time consultant position that wasn't accepted. And so we're making do with what we have. And that means I'm working on it along with the traffic coordinator to make sure that we fill those hours with material consistent with the general pattern of what something's happening has been like with holistic health programming and philosophy and psychology and spirituality and public affairs and old radio. And we'll continue to do that with volunteers, including myself, and with some of the paid staff taking up the slack. And I obviously, in an ideal world, we would have a higher income and be able to restore some of those positions. I agree with that.
Kim, do you have any further questions for Michael or comments?
Whatever.
Okay.
We'll have questions.
So, Kim, do you want to do your part of the report now?
Pardon me?
Hold on, I hear somebody else. Is that Beth?
Yes.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Michael, I understand that KPFK accrued quite a debt to Edison over the moratorium during COVID, and that was ostensibly all due at once the day after that moratorium was lifted, and that we offered payments over time, and that Arthur was able to negotiate that into half as much time as what they were initially allowing, and I think that comes to roughly $18,000 a month. Is that right?
You're talking about Southern California Edison?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to pay the current bill and then $8,000. So, yeah, it's probably about $18,000 total, something like that.
Okay.
That's for the power. We have a separate bill to LADWP that, as I say, if we're paying that one that's not on the books, we're not paying the one that is on the books. So
right.
It's rather
Peter
to PayPal.
If I'm not mistaken, that we were allowed 18 months to catch up that bill. And I think that we should be roughly 14 months into that, leaving something like four more months before that's paid down. Is that right?
Yeah, I understand what you're asking. Yes, so that will come off. It's not on the budget, but it'll come off the. I wish I'd been able to see any time in my tenure a cash flow. I have not, but that'll come off our cash flow, and then it will be available to pay down other bills. Again, as I say, there are further reductions in personnel costs. There are severances that have ended, and there are further severances that will end going into the next fiscal year. Those reductions in expenses going forward that are not reflected here and shouldn't be until, I guess, most of them will be in the next fiscal year.
So it sounds like that particular burden will be lifted and we'll be back to just keeping up with the actual, the current charges within roughly the time of the new fiscal year starting, maybe a month after that. And then there's also the question of this settlement we've been paying down. As I understand it, it's about $5,000 a month. Is that not right?
Yeah.
And that will continue. We've been paying it for over a year now, I think. And I'm not sure quite when it ends, but I think it's sometime next spring. Is that right?
Yes.
Ballpark figure. And so that together between the two of those, it should result in a lifting of something like $13,000 a month of burden that we're now struggling under. And that should, it doesn't fix everything, no, but it's clearly, you know, a change in the right direction and progress to dig ourselves up out of this hole. Those are two items that spring to mind. Are there other things like that that just haven't caught my attention at the moment?
Well, we're paying a severance for someone else. That will continue for at least, I think, 4 months into the new fiscal year.
And then will stop.
Yes.
So that's again, it doesn't fix everything, but it's definitely in a change in the right direction. Thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, I heard Kim. I want to ask if there's anybody else who wants to get on the stack as well.
McFadden.
Or Paul.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Kim. Okay, come out. I got you. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I just want to say that there are a number of expenses that are not hitting the P&Ls, that are not getting from the station to the business office. So likely there's more of a deficit that is being reflected on the actuals.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. I sent you the list of all the bills that I'm aware of that have come in, and it's the same list that Markeisha gets, as far as I know. And so some of which
I'm
happy
to throw. Well, I don't have to get together on that, but I can look on this. I know that, for example, we should be paying shipping. I mean, you know, we do send out stuff. We do have postage charges. There's zero for the whole year. I mean, so that's one obvious, like, where is that money coming from to pay that?
Well, all I can say is that there's the bill that gets forwarded to Markeisha, and it should be in the financials. I'll just say that there's some, you know, just whatever. You know, we changed the web site from an annual to a monthly so we could, you know, manage to pay it when it came due a few months ago. And I paid that out of pocket for 4 months, you know, myself. So, you know, there it cuts both ways. There are things that are not in this because they weren't being paid by Pacifica.
I hope that was recorded as a donation.
Budget, you know. But. All right.
Well, first, I want to say thank you for doing that, Michael. And I don't know if you want to be reimbursed or how you're working that out, but I hope that comes out okay. Kim, were you done for now?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have... Oh, McFadden. Go ahead, McFadden.
Well, it sounds like I really you're in a kind of rock and a hard place down there. So you have my sympathy and trying to do the best you can. What I'm curious about is if I know you've been trying to experimenting with programming down there and bringing in other shows. And that hopefully will build audience and build donations. Have there been any of the new shows you've been able to bring in that are showing promise, unexpected and definitely wanted higher donations than expected?
Yeah, I would say, frankly, it's been a mixed bag. You know, we've had a number of programs that were not doing much for us that do very well elsewhere, and I'm not sure why they don't do as well here. When I first came in, I had to sit down with this guy who's a French businessman, but he's done a lot of turnarounds, and he actually saved L'Humanité, which is the French Communist Party newspaper. So he's progressive, I guess you could say. And he's, I guess, identifying certain target constituencies and audiences, and one of the ones we came up with was veterans. There's been a veterans program. I think it's getting some traction. It's definitely attracting attention from veterans groups, and it's raised some money. I have appointed an interim unpaid program director, Marlena Bond, and we're planning to review both the morning and evening drive times shortly, you know, based on some changes that were made to see how they're working. And, you know, it's uneven. I'll just have to say that. We brought back some programs that were on, and some are doing well and some not so much. We've added some new programs and the same thing. So, we're working on it. You know, it's a work in progress is all I can say about that. I do think that we have, you know, we brought on a number of different environmental programs. XR, Extinction Rebellion, has a program now, XR Now. We have an Indigenous Environmental Show, Society of Native Nations. But the, as you say, it takes a while for them to build up an audience from people who have to know that they're there. I think, you know, critical aspect is, we need to be doing much more promotion of our programming. I think we've relied much too heavily on the idea that we have the radio signal, and that is, you know, the Royal Road, and it's no longer the case. So we have to find ways to bring people to the radio and bring our content to them on other platforms that can also be monetized.
Let me ask just two things along that same. If I can, I'd like to just a little follow on. Have you tried to take advantage of like having a regular archive show with highlights? You know, so I mean, a lot of times during fun drives we're playing archives, but if you had a regular time slot that was pulling out the best of the archives. And just and not only just doing it during fun drive, but doing it.
Yeah, we used to have a program
constantly.
We used to have it as a regular program. It was called From the Vault. It was, you know, curated by Mark Torres of the archives. It was not on by the time I came on. I haven't put it back on. And frankly, we're interested, as I say, in finding. So we started the veterans program. We started a labor program, very timely and just in time for, you know, there's a whole wave of strikes that we've had here in L.A. And it also is getting a lot of traction. It's getting people calling in from various, you know, unions and getting support. So, you know, I'm interested in actually, you know, creating some new archives, not to diminish the archives and their value. But, you know, we need current content from younger voices and more, you know, that we're engaged and bring audiences, you know, to them. So the other thing I've talked about, started discussing with Otis, is the idea of having, we don't have HD and we're probably not going to get it, but KPFT and WPFW do have HD capacity. They have two players on their website. They have two streams. And I think we could look into developing a second stream just as an internet radio station, essentially, on our website without having to have the broadcast expense of it and, pending the maybe new transmitter we have to get anyway, we'll cover that. But sooner, we could actually put up a lot more content than we have by just putting it up on the internet. And that would open up a lot more possibilities in terms of some of the things you're talking about and other ones with, you know, additional music programming and so on. The other thing I will say just in terms of the bright spots is that the because we stopped preempting so many programs, we have stopped preempting the Spanish language programming, and they are raising, you know, some reasonable amounts of money, that given that nothing we're doing is raising a lot of money in the fund drive, but they're holding their own as far as, you know, income for the Spanish language broadcast compared to some of the English language broadcasts. Plus, they are doing community events on a regular basis that bring money in.
Teresa for the stack.
I got you, Teresa. Thank you, Michael and McFadden. I'm just going to interject that I understand it can take 2 years, up to 2 years, for a program to hit its stride in terms of audience. So it's hard to judge how well a program will do. R. Paul, you're next.
Okay. I have a kind of a fast question, I think. Pardon me. Line 37, net income loss, and year-to-date actual in cell Z37 is, call it about 229. And then in cell AH37, this is your projected budget for the 6 months. It's 159 or so. So this comes up to around 388 if you add those two. So is that what the actual final deficit is proposed to be, 388?
Are you saying including central services? Yeah, I mean, the deficit is mainly on central services. Because if you look at 27, there's a slight, you know, the first 6 months were actually slightly positive. The second 6 months, like I said, was a slight negative projection, which we could quibble about. The main deficit is the central service payments not being made.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Kim? I'm sorry, who's that speaking?
This is Kim.
Is that you, Kim? Yeah. And Kim, by the way, I'm just going to say for everybody's benefit here, I want Kim to do her part of this report soon, as soon as we get to the end of the questions for Michael. And if you have questions for, like, line items and, you know, specific spells and such, I think they should probably better go to Kim. But, you know, they can go to either, of course. Kim, you wanted to respond on that?
Yeah. For the second half of the year, I'm showing like $160,000 deficit. So I'm expecting that KPFK is going to have an FY24 budget, per se, because we don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, the most we could do is just extend this until we know what's going to happen. So if you take the second half of the year, basically 160, you know, projected for a year, that's $100,000 deficit, you know, looking to next year and how this would play out. So there's that. And then a $300,000 deficit.
Thank you, Kim. I want to interject a thought here, and it's that I'm very happy to see that finally we're seeing it appear in budgets that we are applying the new central services formula, which takes down their central services amount per month from about $36,000 down to about $15,000. Which is good to see, and that would be a pretty big part of this deficit if that had been applied when we initially passed it, but it wasn't by prior administrations. And so, you know, under all the months that are actuals, if we could have taken out that $15,000, or actually it's like $21,000 more than the $15,000 that is the current formula, that would have made the picture look much better on paper anyway. But I'm very glad to see we're finally applying that. That's great. And now we go to Kamau.
Thank you. I guess this is probably a little of both.
line item and general question on strategy. The reliance on consultants in fiscal 22 as opposed to fiscal 23, you can see the substantial drop there. My first question is on 22 and the reliance on the consultants that you had. This kind of speaks to what we're doing over at WPFW now with our consultant costs as well. What was the value added that you received from the investment that you had in 22 in your consultant line? And then contrarily or in contrast, was there a strategy to kind of remove that cost or remove those individuals and why in 23? That can go to either. Anyone can ask that, answer that, who can.
I'll respond first.
Let's kind of go first on that one.
Uneven, Kamau. We are still booking board ops in consultants, as far as I can tell. And if you look on line 58, I'm not sure what line 22 you were referring to.
No, I said fiscal 22. It's not line. Yeah.
Oh. Fiscal. Yeah, okay, so on, what did I say, 58? On 58, there were two. One was our fundraising consultants, and then they're kind of putting board ops in there. And if you can see on line 58, it's kind of blank from November to March. So that, those are some expenses I think aren't getting up to national somehow, because we still have them. And then, you know, I more or less agree with Michael on the fundraising consultants. Not entirely, but somewhat. But, and I, you know, we'd have to get into naming names, so I'm not going to do that. You know, we're not doing any of that. And I part of it I think is good. Part of it I think is not good. Let me say, from what I understand, Kamau, about your budget, you have a lot more actual people buried in your consultants than we do. I mean, I've been pretty good over the years about keeping that pretty clean, so we don't have a little actual, you know, people doing other jobs and being called consultants.
Okay, so I guess it's just as a quick follow-up then. So you're saying...
Yes.
Wait, go ahead, Kamau.
I'm sorry, just as a quick follow-up. So you're saying then that there wasn't really a strategy around cost reduction there in the consultants. It's not being reported? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, no, cutting the fundraising expenses was a concerted strategy.
Yes, okay. That's what I said at the beginning. First of all, just to be clear, I came in basically at the start of the current fiscal year. I started, I think, September 28th. The fiscal year started October 1st. So I had nothing to do with anything in the previous fiscal year whatsoever, except trying to advise as the chair of the local station board, which I was when I was asked to take the position unpaid as general manager. So. But yes, I came in. We were about to start a fund drive. Within a few days, I talked with the Terry guy in the membership department. Their opinion and my opinion was that we had to dispense with the high-priced premiums, and we had to dispense with paying for consultants to put together those programs, and we would live and die with our programming and our programmers, and asked everyone to come up with low and no-cost premiums consistent with the content of their program and the audience they were appealing to with it. And as I say, the figures look lower in terms of what's coming in, but I think more of it has been retained because we're not, as I say, we don't have, I mean, we still have some of the agent payables for stuff that we still have paid for 15 months later, which is horrible, frankly. But we're not incurring new, big ticketed premiums or consultants for the, you know, fund drive specials.
Thank you. I misunderstood. I heard now that there were paid programmers in that consultant line.
Okay. No. So KPFK has had a long history of a certain number of programmers are hired as producers of their own programs. That's historically what it has been.
Okay.
And that is no longer the case for one reason or another. Some of them quit. Some of them retired. Some of them passed away. There's nobody currently being paid to do any programming on KPFK.
All right. Thank you.
You done, Kamau?
Yes, sir. Thank you, James. Yep.
Very good. Thank you. Now we have Teresa.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much. Thank you. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your hard efforts. Lou Hill said the airwaves belong to the people. So you've truly got a community resource there. And if I think, is Kim correct when she says that you're headed for a $160,000 deficit this year?
No, in the second half.
And only in the second half?
Right.
So more like 300,000 plus deficit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we both agree that we've got a very valuable resource. And I'm wondering, have you had meetings with individual programmers or small groups of programmers to discuss this budget and the bottom line? And how what part they could play in turning this around?
From the first time I came in, we've had monthly by Zoom staff meetings with the paid staff and a separate meeting with all the programmers. I've had individual contact with many of the individual programmers. I send suggestions for content. I send suggestions for improving pitching. As I say, I got the permission from the executive director to appoint an interim unpaid program director, and she and I have begun talking with individual programmers about, you know, trying to, for example, we have this sort of morning mix radio magazine program at 8 o'clock, and it's uneven, as I said, and it's also inconsistent with what the proposed format was, so that the five shows would be more consistent with each other, even though they had different hosts. So we're working on all that to try to, increase.
So are you saying that if they don't produce, I mean, it's pretty scary when Kim says, or when the treasurer says, you're averaging just a little over one pledge per hour, because obviously Roy of Hollywood could generate a lot of pledges in the middle of the night. But if you got somebody during drive time or through the day and they can't generate more than one or two pledges in an hour, there's something that really should be analyzed from that personal statistic right there.
Yes. Sure. There are a lot. I sent around to everyone the last fund drive, which showed, each program's. I sent people the Allegiance produces a report by break, which is to say chronologically from every show. And you can see that some shows don't appear on that because they didn't raise a single dollar.
Okay. What happened?
By program.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
There are separate reports. One is by a day, one is by a break, and one is alphabetically by program. So I sent all of that to the members, and we're following up with with each programmer with plans for August. I want having them, each of them, set goals for their program, think about premiums that would appeal to their listeners, identify their target.
I'm wondering if there's maybe another option for you, Michael. I'm wondering if you could describe how your employees and your volunteer programmers, for example, would take the challenge that each one of them generate income through memberships prior to the next pledge drive. Let's say they call 10 friends or 10 colleagues and see if they could get 10 patrons or committed members prior to the pledge drive, because obviously waiting till the pledge drive isn't cutting it. So, I mean, if your programmers were really committed to KPFK being a valuable community resource, could they try to sell that to people prior to the pledge drive as like a challenge grant? So call them up and say something like, I'm calling and I'm trying to get 10 people to commit to $100, you know, as a patron prior to the pledge drive, which starts on August 15th or whatever. Have you tried that? Or had you gone back with the statistics about how many programmers have you met with that are not raising any money, and what have they committed to do about that since then, since that kind of meeting?
I can't say that I have specific commitments from anyone. We're in the process, as I said, of asking each of the programmers to come up with a goal for their program. I have asked everyone to think about lining up matching grant offers to use during the fund drive. We are in fund drive every other month, and we have been. Maybe it doesn't, you don't understand that, but it's like, the station has been in fund drives every other month for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very challenging. And we're asking the programmers to do more of that because, as I say, since they came in that program, we have not been. A lot of our programmers were accustomed to saying, okay, I'm going to take the fund drive off and, you know, put something on that will raise money for it. You know, that
Michael, are you asking them to generate income before the pledge drive, off air?
Teresa, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes.
Just hold on a second, please. Teresa, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up.